My dear brothers and sisters, in today's first reading, the wisdom of Koheleth points out that the pursuit of earthly possessions, riches, positions, knowledge, beauty, qualifications, and could name the rest, could all be vain. He refers to all of these as vanity of vanities. That is, unless we place them at the service of God's glory, at the service of our brothers and sisters in need. As St. Paul reminds us in the second reading, referring to the fact that all that we do must refer to God's glory. He says, "Think of what is above, not of what is on earth." And so the question asked by Koheleth, "For what profit comes to man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun?" It would seem absolutely nothing may be the answer. That is, unless somehow we work for, we perceive, we use all that God gives to us, not through the self-serving prism of self-honor, of prestige, or self-aggrandizement. As a friend of mine once put it, God gives to us so that we can become redistribution centers as we use what he has given to us to reach out to those who are in need, especially those far away, whom we help almost in complete anonymity. Continuing the theme, Jesus summarizes an unsettling chain of cause and effect in the gospel for us. Riches themselves, the search for them, and their preservation can and do generate earthly anxiety. And the anxiety to search and preserve in this our winner-takes-it world, our competitive world, can and do lead to greed and to selfishness. This is beautifully expressed in the gospel by the number of times in which that rich fool uses the first person singular and its derivatives. I, my, myself. Sadly then, the grabbing for the self, the hoarding, can become an exercise in futility when death comes knocking. How depressingly empty and meaningless it can be, it will be, that for all our academic brilliance, for all the technological and other kinds of skills that we possess and use, for the business sense and savvy that we employ to build our businesses and to run them, how sad it will be that for all the hard work we put to be who we are, we end up being branded as lacking in knowledge, as lacking in wisdom, as ignorant. In the plain, simple language of Jesus, the gospel of today, we end up being branded fools. The absence of God, the absence of a reference to others, especially those who are in need in our lives, are variables in the equation of our achievements. And when they are absent, all of our achievements can run the risk of having fool qualify them. Fool obliterates everything good and positive that we can say about riches. Yes, who of us wants to be a fool, even if we are rich ones? Who of us would, rich as we may be in what the world affords, want to become the laughing stock of all and sundry because of that lack of reference to God and to others around us? The warning of our Lord is clarion call to both the man who wanted him to arbitrate in worldly inheritance and the selfish rich fool. He tells them, he tells you and me, take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. But for such vanity and greed, I just might not be here this evening to, as it were, tug at your heart, purse, or wallet strings. I come from Cameroon in Central West Africa, where because of the vanity and greed of those in power, seen in their unwillingness to share the rich resources of that country equitably, there has, among many other things, been the phenomenon of a mass exodus, especially among the younger generations, to Europe, to America, to the Middle East, even to as far away a place as China. A few weeks back, I said mass for a relative who died in a country I'd heard before, but I just never cared to find where it was located on the world map. He died in Ecuador. Found out what he was doing in Ecuador. He was attempting to trek, to walk from Ecuador to the U.S. His death is just one case among possibly tens of thousands whose skeletons lie sun-bleached in the Sahara Desert sands or are rotting at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea in ill-fated attempts to get into Europe, into America. And so I come. I've come here at the invitation of the Mission Office of the Diocese of San Jose, not in escape from the woes of my country and of other African countries with similar fates, but to share the gospel message of sharing, of communion, a communion that is rooted in our shared faith that makes the suffering of a brother or sister on any path of the beautiful planet Earth the Christian's concern, your concern, my concern. I come to ask for your assistance for a specific project which was begun 9 years ago, the Catholic University of Cameroon. Among the many reasons why that project was started was the intention of the bishops who own it to give to those who are back home a quality education, yes, but also a formation that would change their mindsets, a formation towards integrity, moral integrity, a formation towards civic responsibility, a formation towards what it means to belong to a common will and to look after, to work for the common good. The hope was, if we can begin to form in this way, down the line, this mass exodus to Europe and to America might be stemmed, and we can use some of that knowledge to improve our own situation. Unfortunately, 6 years into that project, the situation at home suddenly degenerated. There's a long history to the way Cameroon is today. First colonized by the Germans, it was divided between the French and the English after the First World War. And so we find ourselves in the reverse situation which obtains in Canada. We find ourselves with a French-speaking majority and an English-speaking minority, which constitutes about 20% of the population. At independence in 1960, the two parts agreed to a federal system of government. But the French majority over the past 50, 60 years has completely disregarded the terms of that federation treaty, and there have been systematic attempts to completely assimilate, to kill all that is English. The language itself, the culture, educational system, the legal system. The English-speaking Cameroonian feels himself, herself, completely marginalized, considered as a second-class citizen in his, her own country. Those attempts, since November 2016, have led to a near civil war situation in which, as we speak, there are close to 500,000, half a million displaced within and without the country. As we speak, repeatedly, government troops have opened fire on innocent civilians. Some of the casualties so far include two priests, one seminarian, two members of staff of our university. Precisely because of this insecurity, for the past 3 years, there has hardly been any school happening in that part of the country. And so the investment, the effort that was put by my humble self and many others to start this university look like going to waste unless we get some kind of help from outside. It simply amounts to the fact that because of the insecurity and because we run that university completely on the tuition paid by students, because of the insecurity, the number, the enrollment has dropped by half. We've had to cut the salaries of our staff, that is those who still think they can sacrifice something for the ideals of that university. Their salaries have been cut by half. It risks closing unless we get some kind of help which will keep it afloat. This evening, I just want to thank, in the first place, Monsignor Francis Chilia, the Vicar General of the Diocese of San Jose, for agreeing that we make this mission appeal in the diocese and specifically in the parish of St. Lucy this Sunday. I am particularly grateful to the pastor of St. Lucy, Father Mark, to the assistant, Father Steve. It has been a very warm welcome. It has been a very beautiful stay here with them. And to you then, my brothers and sisters, as I ask for your assistance, I know that you can say, you could have said, like the person in the gospel, "Now for me, I have so many good things stored up for my years. I can rest, I can eat, I can drink, I can be merry." I know you are not ostrich politicians. I know you don't want to bury your head in the sand and not want to look beyond yourselves to what is happening in other parts of the world. Somebody said exactly what I just quoted in today's gospel. That person has gone down in history, unfortunately, as the rich fool. Someone else did the opposite elsewhere in the same gospel. He shared what he had with the needy. He has gone down in history as the good Samaritan. And so the choice is always ours to fight against the blind impulse to vanity and greed, to keep all for ourselves. The choice is also ours to reach out to those in need in Christian charity. I can talk on, and there's actually this maybe tendency to talk too much, to talk too long when we ask for help. And so I hope what happened to an Indian priest doesn't happen to me now. He came to the U.S. for mission appeals and spoke for too long. A little girl who had been given money to drop into the collection basket for his mission got tired listening to him and turning to the mother. She asked, "Mom, if I give him the money now, will he stop talking?" I'll stop talking, not only because I think it is time for you to reach into your treasuries and help us, but out of respect for time, out of respect for who you and I are. But I still want to assure you that your assistance will make a difference. It could be the difference between the survival of an institution which holds out a future to the youth of my part of the country, or a falling back into total chaos. May God bless you and replenish the treasuries into which you reach to help us. Thank you.